Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 25th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 24, the fourth paragraph, that starts with, "When this sort of thinking," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps Cheryl Ann M., 12 Traditions Dana P. Reader of the text this morning is Lois P. Jordan L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Julie E.B. The reference number for Thursday, December 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,060. That's 16060. And for this morning, Friday, December 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,065. That's 16065. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Suzanne W., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you to each and every one of you. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cheryl Ann M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Cheryl Ann.
Good morning, group. Cheryl Ann M., recovered, not cured, in Rhode Island. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Dawn, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl Ann M. And now I'll ask Dana P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service and to all my fellows on the line. Dana P., recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic. The 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he expresses himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, and internet. 12. Anonymity is the prime foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service in the month of December, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 24, the fourth paragraph, that starts with, "When this sort of thinking," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Lois P. to begin reading. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dawn, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and to everyone listening. So, when this sort, well, it's Lois P., gratefully recovered, happily recovered today, thanks to this program and to God. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he has probably placed himself beyond human aid, and unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. These stark and ugly facts have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history. But for the grace of God, there would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations. So many want to stop, but cannot. I'm actually overjoyed to be reading this very depressing paragraph today, because for me, it really brought home this reality that there comes a point, there came a point in my life, in my struggle with my emotions, with my food, with my life in general, that I had to enter what I believe was called the dark night of the soul, where I really felt that I could keep doing this, I could keep struggling with it. I could do it one more time. I could still have a little bit of that something. I could still manage this compulsion that overwhelmed me time and time and time again. And the idea that somehow I could keep doing it led me to utter despair, because I couldn't keep doing it. I would end up again in the food, feeling horrible about myself, letting people down in my family, at my work, and most importantly, myself. So for me, there came a point where this darkness and this belief that I could keep doing it, that thought had to be broken. I had to be broken, and that was a wonderful opportunity for me, because when I fully surrendered and realized that I could not keep choosing to take that bite, I could not keep feeling I could do it, once I was utterly defeated, then through the grace of God, this surrender and this light came, and this willingness to just give my life over and to know that I cannot do this any longer, and now that I'm involved with the program, and I have a sponsor, and I have sponsees, and I'm dedicated to recovery. It's a beautiful life. It's just a beautiful life. But that moment that I think we all have to come to of complete breakdown, to me, has to occur. That utter, complete, complicit understanding that I am powerless and helpless, that has to happen. It happened for me. I hope it happens for those on the line who may be struggling and still convincing ourselves that we can do this. One more time, I can take that bite. One more time, I'll be able to do it. No, it doesn't happen that way. It happens when we truly realize that we cannot take that bite. We cannot continue in the old pattern. And the only way to save ourselves is to turn our life and our will over to something greater. And when that truly happens, miracles occur. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone, for this opportunity to share. I wish everyone a blessed day, and thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. And I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Christina
Julie
J.
Julie E.B.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Melanie C.
Melanie
Bonnie
C.
M. Bonnie,
Bonnie M.
M.
Okay, I've got Julie E.B., Roz G., Christina J., Melanie C., and Bonnie M. Good morning, Julie. Will you share with us, please? And if you would, tell us where you're calling from.
Yeah, well, good morning. And, you know, it's a happy Friday for me. Even though I celebrate a holiday today, I live and work my program today the same as every other day. And that might sound like deprivation to some people, but to me, that's the grace of God that this paragraph is talking about, the grace of my higher power, the undeserved goodness, is that every day can be in many ways the same. And I don't have a bunch of built-up emotions. I don't have a bunch of unsteady thoughts that mean that I have to make today some kind of day to just eat and eat and eat and be stressed by family and then eat and eat some more and get sugar hit and flour hit. And I can just follow my routine, my spiritual routine. And that sounded boring to me before. I grew up in a really difficult circumstance, and I got used to kind of a crisis mode and always on the defensive mode. But for me, the grace, which is a word that I spoke to other people about in my profession for over 20 years, I had none of it for myself. For myself, it was never enough, and the family just exposed, a day with family just exposed all my shortcomings and that I couldn't wrest happiness and satisfaction out of life by just managing well. But today, I'm just going to do the next right thought or action, and as it says in our 11-step awakening prayer, ask for what I need, what's next, and then ask for what I need to do it. I found it to be a major spiritual bonus for me that I don't even have what I need to do the next thing that I'm going to do after I talk to you. So as I go through my spiritual life today, I pray for the next right thought or action, and then I ask God, my higher power, to provide what I need for that moment. So I hope all of you have a very blessed day today. Blessed Friday to you.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. And now Roz G., if you'll share with us, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Roz, and if you'd let us know where you're calling from, please.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And I need to cross the street. I'm walking with my dogs. Come on. I would like to say, come here. Let's go. This morning, I am so grateful that I have woken up on Christmas morning abstinent. Now, this is my second year of good, solid abstinence with many years in OA. But this year is there's something different because I've, you know, been in the steps a lot deeper this year. And I love how the book has said in a few places that we have placed ourselves beyond human aid. You know, I'm one of my character defects is being a fantasizer. So I would have these fantasies that, well, it's Christmas Day. The blessings have been said over the food, and I'm going to pray that, you know, fairy dust or angel dust is going to be sprinkled over this food and that it's not going to hurt me. And that never worked. All the schemes and plans, you know, it's a special day. It's going to be different this time. Never worked once. So I'm so grateful that today that I have am having a small gathering and that I have a food plan and that there are foods for me that I would like to have, you know, that are on my food plan. And while and the big book also teaches me that if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I can have different kinds of foods in my home and even serve them to other people. And a couple of my binge foods are in the house, but, you know, because of being in fit spiritual condition, of working the steps every day, of sitting in an hour of prayer and meditation time this morning, being on meetings, I have no desire to eat alcoholic foods because I was one of the legions of people that was shown over and over and over again that I am powerless over compulsive overeating. And so by the grace of God, as the book says, I'm neutral to those foods. I'm here to be of service, to exchange. I'm more excited about watching my adult children opening up their gifts than whatever I've got. I don't need any. I have so much stuff. I don't need any more stuff. So no, I cannot stop. I am beyond human aid, and I am so grateful for that. It is a strength that that I have today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. And now Christina J., if you'll share with us, followed by Melanie C. Good morning, Christina, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. It's Christina J. from the state of Washington. Grateful to be on the line this morning, Christmas Day, and grateful to just be, like, not thinking about pies or cookies or Christmas bowls of candy that I would just pray that nobody was watching as I took handfuls and put them in my pocket, or even the days when I was dieting and just, you know, so proud of the fact that I was walking around in a thin, dieted body and not putting butter on my corn and my potatoes and just white-knuckling through the day in my, you know, my thin and beautiful body that nobody seemed to give a hoot about, and yet that's what I lived on. That was a threadbare existence of getting attention for how I looked, and that's what I thought that it was all about, that if I looked good, that I could be loved. And, you know, I was loved more when I was heavy and struggling than I was when I was thin and beautiful. So what does that tell you? It tells you that people are people, and we just are human, and we all struggle with stuff, but for us compulsive overeaters, we have a deeper struggle, and the struggle is I'll talk for myself. God has given me this struggle because in my mind, I feel that God wants me to be of service to his children, to other struggling compulsive overeaters, and to the human population in general, not by how I look. I mean, I've had some physical recovery lately, and it's like I have all these clothes that fit me now, and I told my husband last night, you know, back in the day, I'd be so excited to put these on and go prance around. But now it's like, where am I going to wear that, and who cares? That's the beautiful thing about the physical recovery is it's not about me and how I look anymore. It's about health, you know. So I was, you know, in relapse. Once you learn about this program and that you really have, you know that you have a problem, it's like, oh, my God, you can never go back. And you do pound on the bar and say, what's happened? How did I get back to this? And I didn't listen to the voices, you know, the little tiny voices that would say, better not do that. I went into denial about it in all my relapses, and, you know, because I was still in control. The relapse cycle is a vicious thing that makes you think that you're going to, for me anyway, it makes you think you can get back, because I always got back to one day or 2 days or a week or a month, and that always gave me hope that I was going to continue to be able to get back after every darn relapse. But that's not the case. There would have been one relapse where I couldn't stop, but for the grace of God. And I love this paragraph today because it's leading us to think about the grace of God on this beautiful celebratory day. And it also makes us think of the ones that are still suffering. So many want to stop but cannot. When I see a heavy person on the street or in the store, I think, okay, I'm going to finish up. I think, oh, poor person. But then I think, you know, maybe they do know about program and they can't stop, and God has them right where they want or he wants them, because at some point in the near future, they're going to reach that bottom. Anyway, love you all. Merry Christmas and merry holidays and merry, merry, whatever you're celebrating today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Christina J. And now Melanie C., will you share with us, followed by Bonnie M.? Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Oh, my. All of those ideas. You know, I'll do this again tomorrow. I will start this here and there. I might as well just forget about it. All of those things are absolutely etched into the granite part of my brain. And I can tell you that it was miserable. I gave up a half a century to mistreated disease, and I thought it was something else. Talk about insanity. You know, the failure after failure after failure, the words I was trying to tell myself to bolster myself, you know, we can do this on Monday again, Melanie, you can get up and do this sort of thing, was the very twisted thinking that continued to compound this disease and the misery. You know, it got to a point where I had made a decision to just go ahead and do what I was doing and not try anymore, because the failures became too much. It just ravaged my soul. It ravaged my heart. And the consequences for trying to rally again on Monday was just too much for me, I thought. I couldn't find any hope. The price was my life. The price was my life, and I didn't even know what it was that I was up against. You know, the influence up to that point was that, you know, you have a little difficulty, a little tiny difficulty with your food, and you overeat a little bit too much here, that you just kind of take care of it, you know, on the Monday, and all things would be fine. And so I kept trying to do what they were doing, having no idea that I had a disability that was not going to be treated in that same way without a roadmap in which to be able to do anything differently about it. I wish I could describe, and perhaps because we're all the same here, you can understand. I wish I could really, really describe, maybe to my own satisfaction, what was going on in my heart and in my mind, that I would give up a half century of life to a Snickers bar, that my epitaph was going to read, she gave everything up because food was the king of her life, the god of her soul. The only thing that she could do. She was never going to be able to become victorious over anything. You were not going to be an overcomer, Melanie. You can't. Who in the heck can rise up underneath that kind of thing? Who in the heck can? I just can't even tell you. But that was the only thing that I was capable of having. Until somehow, some way, a miracle came to me. To somebody like me, a miracle came. And I count it no less than that. Somebody told me the truth. Didn't mollycoddle it, didn't say I would get it when I got it, didn't say I keep coming back to the room. They sat down and told me the truth about this disease. And I wasn't treating it properly, and that there was going to be some things I would have to do that I wasn't going to be excited about. But what I was going to have replacement of, and it was substantially more than anything that I could even get my head around to imagine, I was going to have a quality of life returned to me. And an insanity returned to me, to be able to be in fit spiritual condition, to be able to see things the way normal people see.
Time.
If I would just follow this. And they handed me the roadmap and walked me up out of it with a flashlight. We came out together. Thanks, Dawn. I'll pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. And now we'll have Bonnie M. share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the lines again to take more names. Good morning, Bonnie, and please share where you're calling from. Star 1, Bonnie. Okay, maybe Bonnie had to step away. We are on page 24, the fourth paragraph that starts with, when this sort of thinking, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Ken W.H.
Ken W.H.?
Yes.
Okay.
Jody
H. Jody H.
Royce B.
Royce B.
Surrey C.
Surrey C.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Ken W.H., Jody H., Royce B., Surrey C., and Jordan L. Good morning, Ken, and please share where you're calling from.
Well, good morning. Blessed day to everybody. I'm Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. The first words, when this sort of thinking makes me profoundly aware that at this point it is totally twisted, that my thinker is unable to think straight, so to speak. So I believe this is the paragraph that sets us up for the next one. This is the paragraph that leads to utter hopelessness. All is lost. There is no... interesting the way Bill says probably beyond human aid. No, it's actually beyond human aid. I was beyond human aid. I tried everything, and it didn't work. And it says that it will lead to insanity or death. Well, that's why step two talks about sanity, and that recognizing that I am nuts, at least in my thinking, which is totally twisted with respect to food. It's going to lead to that wonderful, wonderful transition, the ultimate transition, I think, in this book from one paragraph to another that we'll talk about Monday. But right now, it brings me to that spot where I just can't stop. And I had to surrender. And it was said earlier, surrender is the key. I can't do this, period. The grace of God is there. It's available to absolutely every human being. God's grace is unconditional, just poured out, poured out, poured out. And God wants the very best for me and for everybody else. And yes, thousands have found hope and new life. There are still thousands and thousands out there. And I guess that's partly the call to share experience, strength, and hope, that perhaps someone else doesn't have to become one of those thousands who are still out there. And can actually surrender enough to have that grace just pour all over them and find out what a new way of life is like. So thank you for letting me share. It's a blessing to be here today, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Ken W.H. And now I'm going to ask if Bonnie M. happens to be able to share with us at this time. Are you there, Bonnie? Okay. If not, we'll go ahead with Jody H., followed by Royce B. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, all my fellows. I'm so happy to be here this morning. This paragraph is just a stark realization to me of how powerless I had become. And I like it where in Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about remembering your last drunk. And I remember my last eating, compulsive overeating attack. And I will never forget it. I was abstinent for about 2 weeks, and I was trying so hard to work the program. And but I still had some hesitancy. So I tried something with my addictive food in it. And within just an hour or so, I felt like I had the flu. It was awful. I felt so bad, and it stayed that way for the rest of the evening until I drank a lot of water and flushed the poison out of my system. And the next day I said to myself, why did I do it? And my sponsor says to me, you're a compulsive overeater. Of course you did it. And now, months later of being abstinent, I rejoice in this day of Christmas. I'm rejoicing because of my faith, and I'm rejoicing because I've been abstinent since August 1st. It's been a mighty interesting path, and I can't thank all of the people on this line enough for being there for me, and all the contacts who have been so kind to me and so compassionate and understanding. And I want to be that way. And if we talk about New Year's resolutions, I'm starting a resolution today on Christmas of 2020. I'm going to be more compassionate to every other compulsive overeater that I can possibly be. Thanks for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Jody H. And now, Royce B., will you share with us, followed by Suri C. Good morning, Royce, and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Royce B. from New Orleans. And I'm very grateful to be on this line this morning.
Royce, we want to make sure we hear every word. Is there a way you could adjust so we could hear you a little bit more clearly?
How's that? Is that better?
Not really, but I think we'll be able to hear you. Go ahead.
Well, so I grew up as a Catholic girl. I thought that I had God in my life, and I did, but I had no idea His grace was so much stronger. And I spent almost 50 years trying to figure this, what I thought was the problem, out. And what I've learned in the last year since May 22nd is that I had the answer the whole time. I just wasn't tapping into it. And every time I get faced with my devil, you know, those alcohol tubes, there seems to be some sort of grace over me that I've never had before. And I owe that to the program and to my wonderful sponsor and my God squad. And I'm experiencing a life in a year that's been one of the most challenging years of my life, personally. I'm actually happy and joyous, and all glory to God in the program. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Well, thank you, Royce B. And now we'll have Suri C. share with us, followed by Jordan L., and then I'll take another name or two. So, Suri C., would you share with us, please, and let us know where you're calling from?
This is Suri C. from Connecticut. I'm not recovered. I've been on these lines for a while listening, and this is my same place. Because it's fully established. I've got those tendencies. I've got the alcoholic tendencies. And I am beyond human aid. I even had a medical intervention. I had a gastric sleeve in December of 2016. And I've maintained the weight loss because God's been kind to me. Because I've been showing up to Overeaters Anonymous. Because I continuously struggle with step one and thinking that I'm greater than and bigger than, and it's really but for the grace of God. Because the truth is that we live in a day and age where everyone, I believe, is so fraught with something and struggling with something that we are all alcoholics. I'm on this line because food is my choice of self-destruction. Somebody earlier mentioned a candy that was but I have a date and time where I can't eat that candy anymore. And I am so grateful that I am not abstinent with my food. I am still all over the place and still giving it over to God every day. But that, I have not eaten since November of whatever that day was. I I'm in awe of everybody on this line. And at the same time, I'm in awe of everybody. I have to say that I also, it's really a 3 minute. It's a time awareness, and it's awareness of a personal self. So for me speaking today, I'm terrified that somebody's going to hear me on this line. I'm terrified that, but why did I do it? Because I'm laying here. I have a gazillion things to do. And I'm laying here frozen in my spot because I didn't even want to open the book to see what the paragraph was that was being read today. I didn't even want to open up and read it. And when I was listening, I spaced out during the time when it was being read. So I'm very grateful for the moderator who read it, who repeated the page number, because I was forced to be in my moment, open the book, follow the words, read the words, and trust that God gave this to Bill Wilson, to these people, to these groups, originally to alcoholics, but to food addicts and to anybody who's struggling with this sort of thinking. God, it's fully established in my brain. If you could just cut out that part of my brain, but that part doesn't get cut out. That part is with me every day. And every day he wants to destroy me. And every day he steals time from me. And every day it's a struggle. Thank you for sharing in my struggle for being this place. Thank you for being as amazing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Suri C. And now, Jordan L., will you share with us? And then I'll be taking three more names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you very much for moderating this morning. My name's Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Very grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you guys this morning. So this sort of thinking, when this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, so once my mental obsession has been fully established, this obsessive mind that I have that goes back to food as being some sort of solution. It goes back to this idea over and over and over again that, like, food is a good idea. That food is going to, like, solve my problem. That excess food is going to be my answer for, getting through today. Once that sort of thinking has been fully established in an individual like me that has alcoholic tendencies or a physiological phenomenon of craving towards certain alcoholic foods and ingredients, right? It has nothing to do with wanting to stop. When I start eating these foods, I can't seem to stop, and it exists within my body. Once those two things come together, he has probably placed himself beyond human aid. And I really like that Bill says probably here. I think it speaks to the fact that even at a couple of years sober, Bill was moving past that all or nothing addict thinking. You know, like he was starting to move beyond that, so that it's not just black or white. There's like this this area in the middle. We don't have to define anything ultimately, you know. And then this sentence, but for the grace of God, there would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations. The grace of God is a funny thing, right? I had always been very resentful at religious people that talked about having faith or being blessed or being graced. I didn't understand what they were talking about, and I heard that a lot. I heard a lot about undeserved grace, and I was like, my attitude towards it was like, well, frig that, you know? I've done a lot to deserve this. Look at all these things I've done, you know? And it's funny because I think what they meant, or at least what I mean today when I say unearned grace, is that not that I haven't done a lot to earn it, but that it's not really about doing something. It's grace that I just get just because I'm here. and so it happens to help in my case. I happen to be one of those individuals beyond human aid, and this unearned grace happens deliver a solution to this food problem that I have on a daily basis. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning? We're on
Anne-Marie
page.
Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie.
Georgie.
Shlomi.
Anne-Marie.
Larry G.
Reggie.
Georgie.
This is Sandy.
Okay, let me tell you who I have. I have Anne-Marie C., George E., and there was one other person. I heard a lot of names, but is there one other person who would like to take us out? Would like to end. One more name. Anne-Marie C., George
Sandy.
E.
Sandy.
Larry G.
Okay, I heard Sandy. All right, we'll go with Anne-Marie C., George E., and Sandy. And good morning, Anne-Marie. And please tell us where you're calling from. And I apologize to everyone else who'd like to share. Please come back Monday. Good morning, Anne-Marie. Will you share with us, please? Star one.
This is Anne-Marie G. from Pennsylvania.
Very good.
Good. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being there for me today. When I was reading this paragraph, the thing that hit me right in the eye was, "But for the grace of God." And and that is what everything I take, everything that I have received from this program, from those who have helped me in this program, because I am a real compulsive overeater. So that today, when I read this, I thought, oh my heavens, that's one thing I needed to be reminded of among all things. I left for Dawn Church, for church this morning at dawn, and we've had a terrible storm overnight. But I was on a roadway, the back road, and there was a log submerged in the water that was accumulating on the road, and it wasn't visible in the dark. And I saw it at the last moment, swerved, and avoided it, but landed in a huge deep puddle that was, I don't know, threatened my floorboards, I would say. And I just kept going and praying as I got through. And on the way back, it had receded, so it was easy enough to get through. I came in the house and put the lights on, and, you know, we still have some rain. Pulled up the blinds in my kitchen, and there's a tree down in my backyard in between the real property owner, their boat, and their trailer. So it was, oh, my God, what do I do? You know, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Always my first response. And that is just like it says here, you know, I don't say, oh, dear God, here we go, right? You know, I guess I'm not practiced enough. So anyway, I said, all right, okay, better stop right now. And I did. And I just asked for, how would you have me be? I'm 85. I own my own home. I live alone. And so this is my job to work this out with my insurance people. So it wasn't that. It was the first thing first was to work it out with my higher power that he is in charge. He really is in charge. He is not going to leave me in the lurch. It will be a process, and I will walk through each part of that process with him as a result of working these steps and having this wonderful fellowship to rely on. So I thank you very much, and I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and happy holidays for the rest of this period. Take care. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie G. And George E., will you share with us now, followed by Sandy. Good morning, George.
This is George E. from Ohio, Eastern Standard Time. Happy holidays to everybody. I was struck by the last sentence. So many want to stop but cannot. I was struck by how definite that is, you know. And in that one sentence, it says that willpower won't work. Probably doesn't say much about self-knowledge, but I suppose the word want does, you know, freedom from want. Yeah, this is a very packed paragraph. Stark and ugly facts, and then legions. I was struck by that word. I think there's a biblical reference to that. Anti-angels, so to speak. I probably feel funny saying this on Christmas Day, but the last time I was locked up, it wasn't terrifying. It was actually kind of easygoing. It was just, my binge eating was just unbelievable. I came out of that short locked up period with, the worst hangover I ever had. It was just incredible. And, I don't feel wonderful this morning, but gosh, I slept for 8.5 hours, which is, unheard of for me. I'm still trying to find my way in this program. I shouldn't say this because it sounds so discouraging, but I talked to a fellow, was near me, and he did mention about dying. He said, you're not going to die when you overeat, and I beg to differ with him. It's just a very slow death. It's
dying.
It will happen. Somebody else on the call said it's about the health. I came for the eating. I stayed for my thinking. I think that's maybe the appropriate thing that people say in the rooms. I'm glad God has graced me with a program to work. I'm not grateful that he's graced me with this disease.
Okay.
It's led to a lot of loneliness and despair. And this is supposed to be the day of hope, peace, joy, and love. So happy New Year to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Georgie. And now, Sandy, will you share with us? And I'd like the initial of your last name, please. And you have just a 2-minute share. Star one, Sandy.
This is Sandy from Texas.
Okay. Go ahead, Sandy.
Yes. And I joined OA almost 2 weeks ago, so I'm new at this. But I have a good sponsor, and she's very helpful with my food. And I'm looking forward to a much long experience with OA, and I've learned so much. I have the big book, and I have a OA workbook to do the steps. I just need a sponsor, which I know I will find one. But right now, I'm just enjoying the Christmas holidays, and I'm by myself, but I have friends and family. I will call in a little while on the phone because we're staying apart due to the virus. But it's not keeping me totally apart from everyone because we all have the phone and we can stay in touch so I don't feel lonely. And I'm not binging like I used to do, which is remarkable. and I'm more alert, you know, because I'm not numbing myself with food like I used to do. And then, you know, like you would eat so much, you would fall asleep for half the afternoon, you know. But I'm doing much better. And happy holidays for everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy. And thank you to everyone who shared with us this morning. We're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Capitalized. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.